Today's show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Cog Network. Cog Network, geared for gain.
Cog Network is hedge fund investing evolved.
By owning Cog Network tokens, you get exposure to the hedge fund's gains. The hedge fund is comprised of algorithmically traded commodity futures and investment in hard assets related to energy. The first hard asset is partial ownership of a multi-million dollar solar farm that has a crypto mining operation attached.
I mean, this is really something that both traditional and crypto investors can come together and participate in. So for traditional investors, they can get exposure to cutting-edge blockchain technology in a framework that they're familiar with, a hedge fund, right? And crypto investors can get exposure to an actual security that bears dividends and includes non-crypto assets.
So that's super cool. And just for full disclosure, Cog Network is a fully registered and regulated entity qualified by the SEC as a Reg D as well as a Reg S and has a 506C exemption. They've been working with lawmakers since 2017 to get this idea built out in a fully compliant way.
Crypt Nation, if you guys are interested in learning more about a tokenized hedge fund, go visit www.cog.network. All right, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation, it is your hosts, Bryce Paul and the Notorious Pizza Mind, coming at you from San Diego with another hot off the press, can't beat it, Crypto 101 podcast episode. Pete, what's up?
You know, I've been having a lot of sleepless nights lately, going down the rabbit holes of conspiracy theories and really trying to find out the underlying truth behind so many things that we're told, and it's really driving me crazy. I really wish there was some kind of, you know, blockchain analytics for real life so we could really decipher the difference between truth and not truth, between transparency and lies.
Interesting.
But fortunately, what we have with us is some ways so that we can at least get a little bit of a glimpse into what's really going on behind blockchains. At least that much is in our control. So I want to welcome to the podcast Sven Martinsen from Valega Chain. Thank you so much for taking your time to talk with us here at Crypto 101.
Thank you for having me on your show. I've listened to you guys quite a lot and very proud to be here.
Thank you. We're very excited and we are very proud to have you too because you are the first Finnish person who is going to be joining the Crypto 101 podcast in, you know, the 3 years that this puppy's been alive. I don't know how we made it this far without having someone from the great country of Finland on. So
clearly a conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with that being said, why don't you walk us through, what in the world is going on in Finland? We have a lot of people come on in America or, Western Europe or Asia that talk about how the coronavirus has impacted them and how life has changed. Some countries are on lockdown. Some countries are already out of quarantine. What's going on over there in Finland?
Yeah. Actually, like Finland is, of course, a pretty small country, so it's not in the size of countries you find in the Americas or Asia.
For those of you guys who might not know where Finland is, it's in the Scandinavian countries, almost up towards the North Pole. It's like by Norway and by...
Norway, Sweden. Bordering Russia. So that's kind of where it is, way up north, pretty cold. Actually, we're getting some sunshine here now. Winter is kind of over. We're heading into spring. And coronavirus has impacted here as well, of course. But we don't have the same lockdown as we're seeing in other countries at the moment. Things are still pretty free. Like, people are actually just staying at home by themselves. You know, they're not... the government is not forcing them to stay at home, but people are actually keeping their distance and staying safe as much as possible. Some things are still running. The things that are, like, what they call it, necessity, are still running. So it's been pretty interesting to see how the situation is going here, but we'll have to still wait and see how it develops.
All right. Well, we hope the best for you guys up there, of course. Let's talk about blockchain analytics. How do blockchain analytics actually affect the average consumer?
So to give a quick scope of what we do and how we have worked. So we came into the blockchain sphere as a company right there when all the ICOs were going on and everybody was really overhyping everything that was happening within cryptocurrencies and blockchain. And we actually started off as a company who was trying to help other ICOs succeed. And of course, we saw quite a difference in what was promised and the visions with what really happened, right? There were a lot of scams going on, a lot of really bad kind of actors out there trying to really, really steal money apart from the ones that were good, like actual legit companies. Absolutely. Were really trying to do something good. So when we were looking at this, we set out to kind of get to the bottom of things and say, like, why is it that, you know, when we look at governments and other companies, like the established, like old school companies, why do they have such a fear towards blockchain and especially cryptocurrencies? And we realize that this is the reason, because of these scams, because there has been no regulations there. It was a lot of wild Western kind of thinking in it. Everybody's shooting everywhere. And of course, a lot of illegal activities were happening. Of course, not as much as we have seen in the past few years when banking systems and such, but still enough to kind of put a worry on people's minds. So we set out to build a tool to try and analyze as much of these transactions that were happening on the blockchain as much as possible, to really try and filter out the good versus the bad. And we actually got to some pretty interesting information, you know, because we could tie quite a lot of transactions to these different entities, right? We could say, okay, this is dark market, so that's probably not a good thing. We could trace down things from everything from cybercrime to these ransomwares to child abuse cases, all those things going on, and a lot of them affecting not only companies but also private people. And that's not fun, you know, when you're just a regular trader and you're doing your business as usual and you're just looking into this new financial system that is happening, and then somebody comes out and, you know, either they hack an exchange and take all the money, or you get attacked by some form of cyber criminal who says, I have all your pictures, I'm going to leak them to all your family members if you don't pay us, you know, half a Bitcoin. And you know, that sucks. That is not a good thing. So this is kind of what we have been trying to do. And of course, there is always this issue with the anonymity on blockchain. But right. In reality, everything is pretty transparent, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the things that we should definitely address is there was a $25 million hack on April 20th from obviously an anonymous hacker who hacked a protocol called DeForce. And in there, yep. he essentially hacked a smart contract, stole $25 million. And funny enough, today, which is the 21st of April that we're recording this, we see that he is now returning the hacked money. Mm-hmm. Because there was threats of exposing his identity because they found out which VPN he was using, contacted the VPN user, and they were going to reveal his personal identity. That's crazy. So tell us a little bit more about what happened in this hack and how you think it got handled and just your overall idea of what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? You can always trace anything, really, nowadays. We have come so far with technology, not only on blockchain, but in general. So, of course, this was a hack that, you know, fortunately, you could trace it down to the VPN that the person was using, and there were some form of accounts or something like that. So it kind of became easy for law enforcement to just get themselves a warrant and actually find out what happened. Or even in this case, even companies could have gone after and said, hey, you know what, we will pay for this information. And sometimes that is a thing that can happen as well. So of course, and a lot of it can also be even crowdsourced. You know, you can have a lot of people who are saying, like, hey, we will get together and we will find this culprit. And then they do. We have actually on our own platform had certain cases that are like this, you know, where people have just gotten together and shared information that they have found. You know, and these are regular, like, cryptocurrency traders who are just really into the whole blockchain and really understand how that works. A bunch of Ethereum developers. So it's really interesting to see when this happens. And of course, there are a lot of bigger hacks that go on. and especially those that happen outside of the knowledge of the blockchain community. Those are, I think, are the most dangerous ones, you know, because those are the ones where somebody has, you know, signed up somewhere and they have started the trading with cryptocurrencies in the beginning, and then they attack such things like hospitals and research centers. And we have seen a huge spike of this happening right now amid this COVID-19 situation. And this is really not a good thing, right? I mean, these are people who are trying to help the world in these troubling times. And then you have these hackers who are, or the hackers trying to like really get information from hospitals and then putting a ransomware on them. That's not good. So a lot of the work we do is trying to trace them. And we have a tool that we have built that allows us to really look into these wallet addresses or in general, like wallets, addresses, clusters. We can really look into those and we can trace and track every single transaction going on, right? So we can really see like where has the money been going. So we have this follow the money trail, which we can use. And we can basically trace back to the first ever created Bitcoin. So that information is very useful. And of course, due to this pseudo-anonymity that you find on the blockchain, it becomes harder to actually get an identity on the person. But as we know, their exchanges are usually following regulations, most of them at least, let's hope. And they have done their KYC. So that's the Know Your Customer, which is a process which many of you are probably familiar with. That is, you know, when you have to show your identity on some sort of web chat and then type in all the information you need so that you can get access to an exchange and trade. So then it's up to law enforcement to then just really get themselves warrants and really trace down that person. But we help along the way as much as we can.
eToro is one of the largest trading platforms in the world with over $1 trillion in trading volume on the platform every year. And they're some of our good friends, and they're a great sponsor. U.S. customers can trade the most popular crypto assets, and your fees are extremely transparent. So if you're not ready to trade yet, you could also practice building your portfolio with the eToro virtual trading feature. They give you $100,000 of virtual money, and you could start playing around with it and not have to risk any of your real money before you get comfortable with the markets. And best of all, you can connect with 12 million other eToro traders around the world, kind of like a social network for trading, to discuss charts and all things crypto. So go ahead, create an account today at eToro.com/crypto101. That helps us, that helps you, that helps them, and makes everything possible here if you guys use that link. So guys, start building your portfolio the smart way. eToro is crypto trading made easy. All right, back to the show.
That's really awesome. You know, just a real quick story. I was talking to my best friend the other day, and he was telling me that someone he knows got an email from Bitcoin that said that they had got all his pictures, you know, just like what you were talking about earlier. He got that email and, you know, is, you know, saying you have to send this money in Bitcoin. And so his friend was telling everyone that Bitcoin was a scam, trying to rip him off and expose him in the public. And I just kind of chuckled and I said, no, that's not really Bitcoin that's emailing him. In fact, you know, Bitcoin doesn't have a company or a staff for that matter. And he says, well, you know, if you guys have all this money flowing through the space, you should really do something to protect your reputation. You know, don't you have anyone that's chasing after these guys? And I was like, actually, yes, we do. So, and you guys over there at Valega are some of those guys, and there's other blockchain analytics companies that are trying to trace down and get rid of these people from souring the beautiful name of Bitcoin. Yeah. So I thought that was just a funny thing to mention at this time. And there's so much else going on in terms of hacks and stuff right now. Like literally just last night, I was up until 3 in the morning because right as I was climbing into bed, I got wind that the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, and the Wuhan Virology Lab all got hacked, had all of their accounts and passwords dumped onto 4chan and Reddit.
Yep.
And I can only assume all of their data has been copied and is now being analyzed somewhere. And we should hear some really interesting things in the weeks and months to come when some intelligent eyes have a chance to actually pour through the data that's found. It'll be really interesting to see if there is any kind of conspiracy there or if everyone involved is really working in good faith. And I sure hope that they are. But I mean, this could really be this wild unraveling of things to come. So I really wonder what's going to – it's just a crazy time that we're living in right now.
Yeah, in
terms
absolutely.
Of, in terms of news, if you Googled Kim Jong-un last night, on Google, the results, they literally had conflicting news stories, one and two. The first result said Kim Jong-un's fine, nothing to worry about. The second one said he's gravely ill. It's like, how can you make any kind of decisions in life when you're not dealing with any kind of truth? So that's just been something that's on my mind recently, and I just wanted to express it. You know, there's so much need for to verify. Like, don't trust, verify. And that's the great thing about blockchain is it is a trustless environment that does have that pseudo-anonymity, but also that transparency. So you really can track down some of these people who are abusing the system. So I want to say thank you for your work that you're doing. And I want to like backtrack just a little bit further. And why did you decide to build this company to solve this problem? And now that the ICO craze has kind of, you know, died down, like, what's the future for your company?
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty simple, really. I mean, we see that there are so many traders out there, and there are more and more coming every time. And not only that, but there are also developers who are developing, you know, Ethereum platform. Even though the whole right. when the market kind of crashed, everybody was saying, like, "Oh, it's over now," right? But we clearly see that it's really not over, and the amount of traders are just growing more and more. And now you see even countries who are joining in on saying we need some form of virtual currency. If I'm not mistaken, I think that even the United States was iterating about how this could be important during these situations to have some form of virtual currency, right? And you have banks in Germany who are applying for Bitcoin licenses, which allow you to then trade with Bitcoin on the bank themselves. You have big fintech company, like financial technology companies, like Revolut coming out of this whole era of digital banking, also joining in the whole cryptocurrency race. I mean, this is growing. There's no getting away from this. So if we can provide people and users with validation tools to make sure that everything they're doing is compliant, it's within the regulations of their own countries, and also for themselves, you know, keeping themselves secure. It's I don't think that many people who trade understand that sometimes they can be sending money to somebody who is a terrorist. I mean, that can definitely happen. I mean, this is what we do. Or somebody who's laundering money through whatever business they're doing. And that's very unfortunate. So we really felt that, hey, if we want some mass adoption to happen, we need to build this kind of technology that allows people to really feel safe when they're doing trades. Because, of course, you can still use cash, right? I mean, that has always been, you know, if you want to buy drugs or whatever, or weapons or something, you can always just use cash, and that you cannot trace that down to anything. But that's not the thing, is it? We're here building, we are the generation that is building this new financial world, right? This is really new. This is the, let's say, new world order. And if we wanted to really be something, we have to make sure that we're following the regulation to the point where we can still safely feel that the government will still back us up if it's needed. Law enforcement will help us if somebody steals our money, but to the point where we still feel safe enough that, hey, this is my money. I feel that my privacy is still protected, but they can still track down these illicit activities whenever that's needed. Because if you're not doing anything illegal, then, I mean, you can still stay safe, you know. You can still trade as much as you want using whatever services you use today and still be as anonymous as you need to be. It's only when you're doing something really dodgy, like financing terrorism or laundering money or, you know, attacking hospitals, then, yeah, we will come after you.
Right. Do you think that, you know, the technologies that now we have, which could really de-anonymize a lot of, you know, blockchain addresses and bring just, you know, full transparency to the, call it the financial supply chain or the financial, you know, transaction. Like, do you think that a world in the future exists that encapsulates both some level of financial privacy where no institutions know what's going on, maybe something with, you know, zero knowledge proofs, as well as, you know, financial transparency, where governments can still monitor and make sure that there's no terrible, terrible things that are being financed.
Yeah. So, like, to be honest, I think that no, we won't have this whole like we can always be private and nobody will find out who we are. I think that, I mean, everybody basically living, at least in the Western world, and as I said, we have smartphones that are connected to every single social media we can possibly imagine, right? So privacy in that sense is gone anyways, right? And if that is still connected to a financial system, I don't think much is going to change in that aspect. However, I think that will lead to a much bigger financial freedom where you're actually in control of the money that you actually own. You know, there, and I think that that's very important. You know, I was talking to a friend a few months ago, and we were talking about cryptocurrencies and versus having your money tied up into loans and institutions or whatnots. And he was saying, well, you know, cryptocurrencies is the equivalent of you having your cash in your mattress, except that now you're having it on a digital mattress instead. So you still have the freedom to use it however you want. But I mean, you know, people still, if they really want to find out, they will know where you live and where that mattress is stored, right? It's just that you'll at least have a bit more financial freedom and control over your own finances. And I think that's important to point out, that that's really where we're kind of headed, rather than, oh, is my privacy secure? Yes or no. So I think, you know, we live in this world where everybody has Facebook, everybody has Instagram. So privacy in that sense is kind of dead.
What do you see as far as central bank digital currencies? You know, we've seen a lot of countries now, including the United States, say that they're kind of looking into it, testing it out. I know your good friendly neighbor Sweden is kind of the front runner in that. Do you think this is going to be a huge violation of privacy despite Europeans' privacy laws? Or is this just going to be a harmless technology upgrade to money and there's really nothing to worry about?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that is a question that we have been pondering for a while now. We have this general data protection laws here in Europe, right, which is the GDPR, and you have your equivalent in the States. And it's a tricky question, because since everything is that is on the blockchain is immutable, I mean, it's there and it's going to be there to stay, then it's kind of, it has the issue with how is it that will work with the general privacy laws, right? Because GDPR does say that, hey, I want to delete my data, then you're supposed to be able to delete this data. But if you come to a certain level where this is on a governmental level and banks have that data, they are, in essence, allowed to keep it. It just shouldn't be public, right? So that is kind of what we're trying to tackle in Europe, and there are a lot of really, really good experts and professors working on this right now, trying to find a good way to do this so that it doesn't harm the consumer or the users, right? So I think that when central banks really start jumping into this, it might become a fairly harmless just transition into a new kind of financial system. But again, I think that the user will have a lot more freedom, right, to really trade wherever they want. Now, you know, it takes if I want to send money to the States right now, for example, from Finland, it will still take a good 3 to 4 days, if not longer, for it to arrive where you are. But with blockchain technology, this can go a lot faster, and it's a lot more transparent. And, you know, I think that that's the important thing, that this upgrade will be very important in the terms of economic freedom for people to be able to trade quite freely with each other and between each other, rather than the way we have to do it now, where there's costs incurred on everything that we do and the such.
Perfect. No, that makes a lot of sense. And in closing, as we wrap things up, since you're a Crypto 101 listener, you'll know that, you know, at the end of every episode, we like to ask a few questions that we like to ask every guest. For you, we're going to ask, typically we'll say, what other company in crypto or blockchain is having such a tremendous impact? But I'm going to narrow it down to, what other company or project in Finland is having a tremendous impact on crypto, of course, besides your company?
Actually, I think that we would have to say that our friends at Prasos and Local Bitcoins, which are actually two Finnish companies, and they're both very big exchanges here in the country. They are having quite a big impact as they are really working with banking licenses, right? They have been granted these. Parasos, I know, has done a tremendous job with that, being able to get this granted. And that's already a huge step into giving this trust of what a cryptocurrency could actually be. So that is, like, I think those two in Finland have been working quite a lot with that. And that's, I think they've done a pretty good impact.
That's awesome. If this was the first podcast someone getting into the space heard, what would you want them to know?
Well, I would say knowledge is key, right? When you're trading into Bitcoin and whatever cryptocurrency, knowledge about the risks is super important. And, you know, using a tool like ours, for example, is super easy, where you just sign up and you can really just, if you want to validate an address or even your own address and just check to see if there are any suspicious things going on with your address, you know, you can always type in your wallet address and you'll get an immediate response. That's already part of the knowledge, but really listening to podcasts like yours is important to really know as much as possible about how this is. I mean, it is, after all, an economic tool, Bitcoin, blockchain, everything. So as with anything, it's always important to really know what you're doing and trying to stay as safe as possible.
Makes a lot of sense. And the last question I'd like to ask you, Sven, is of all the wonderful, intelligent people that you've met in your journey here in the crypto world, who would you say is one person or maybe two people that have had a tremendous impact on you?
On me? Well, actually, there's this one guy in Sweden, actually, who's helped us out a lot. And his name is Michal Gromek. He's been very key when it comes to these kind of compliance side of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin mainly. I think he would be really somebody who's had a lot of impact in me. And he's also a contributor to Forbes, and he's very often writing about not only the risks, but also why it's important to keep this technology rolling, right?
Right.
For the world. I think that would be one of the key people, actually.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to have him on the podcast one of these days to do a deep dive here into some regulatory stuff. Sounds like he's going to be a great resource.
Oh, absolutely. And he always lobbies for great regulatory measures so that we as crypto fans can keep on enjoying what we do.
Brilliant. Well, Sven, it was such a pleasure speaking with you today, learning a lot about Valega chain, a lot about just blockchain analytics and kind of the future of, you know, financial freedom versus, all right, let's keep everything on the rails. Let's keep, you know, the bad guys in their spot and keep an eye on them. So you're doing a lot of great work to further the space and to make it one of those areas that both institutionals and regulators can feel comfortable in, and people that are concerned about their financial freedom and their financial privacy that they can feel comfortable in too. So I really think it's going to be a meshing of the best of both worlds here in the future. And thank you for spending the last half hour with us here on Crypto 101 Podcast.
Thank you for having me on board. It was really nice.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.